for the lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered. Amen?
Amen.
The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. If you have your Bible, open up to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. The book of Philippians and chapter number 4. Through our exhortation times, we've been moving through the last half of the book of Philippians, and today we're going to cover two more verses in a small series that we've been doing in verses 2 through 9. In verses 2 through 9, we've been talking about eight components that make a complete Christian, or understanding the pathway to maturity in the Christian life. We first looked at church unity, verses 2 and 3. We looked at spiritual joy in verse 4. We looked at gracious humility in verse 5. Verses 5 through 6 was strong confidence. Verse 6 was thankful prayer. And in verse 7, we discuss supernatural peace. And now today, for the last two of the eight components, godly thinking and practical obedience. Godly thinking and practical obedience. Notice with me the seventh thing, godly thinking, in verse number 8. Paul says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Notice that last phrase, think. Think about these things. So much of religion today, and especially modern Christianity, is based on an emotional approach and a pragmatic outcome. It's based upon stirring the emotions, feeling things, and doing things based off of that feeling. When true Christianity is not so much about the emotions, it's more about the mind. It's more about what you think, what you believe. It's more about what you dwell on in your thinking, in your mind. The focus of true biblical Christianity is first and foremost on the mind. It's not how we feel, it's what we know. It's not what stirs our emotions, but what fills our minds. And you can bank on it, every single person is a product of their thoughts and their beliefs.
Right.
What you believe and what you think about life, about the world, drives what you do. You tell me what you believe and I'll tell you how you will act. Or you show me how you're acting and I'll tell you what you really believe. For the Christian, our mind has drastically, dramatically, and fundamentally changed. The entrance into the Christian life is by faith and repentance. And the word repentance is an interesting word. It's metanoia in the Greek. And meta means a change. Noia means mind. So the entranceway into the Christian life is a change of mind, first and foremost. It's repentance and faith. Faith placed in Jesus and a changed mind about all reality concerning how God defines it. Ephesians 1:18, we have had our minds enlightened as Christians. Romans 12:2, we're told to be constantly and continually renewing our minds. 1 Peter 1:13, we're called to prepare our minds for action. Colossians 3:2, we're told to set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are to take every thought captive to obey Christ.
Amen.
Every thought. Psalm 119:11, we are to store up Scripture in our minds so that we might not, what? Sin against God. Biblical faith is biblical thinking. We must take control of our thoughts, not be controlled by the whims of emotions and different things that we feel. Notice here in Philippians 4:8, he says, think about these things. He gives us a list of categories of what to think on, what to dwell on. This is a good place to guide you in your view of what you watch, what you listen to, where you go. All kinds of things can be developed through these categories that he lists us here about how to think, what to think on. And this word, think about, in the Greek, you'll hear the word in it. Listen to it. Logizomai. You get the word logic from this word. He says, logic, use thinking, use pondering, evaluation, considering, calculate, dwell on these categories. Think, calculate, reason through these categories that he's telling us. Dwell on these things. And notice, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. A mindless Christian is not an option. All Christians are commanded to use their minds and develop strong convictions within certain categories based on biblical revelation.
Amen.
We need to develop convictions that guide us in every area of life. And here's categories in this verse to show us what to do and where to think. Think about, dwell on these things. Well, what things? Go back up. Whatever is true is the first one. It's the first category to develop thoughtful convictions on. It is the area of truth. Fantasy should not be the Christian's primary pursuit. Reality, according to God, should be. Amen? We don't need to spend our time so much in fantasy as opposed to reality. We need to be thinking rightly about how things really are, not deceived about how things might be or could be. John 17:17, Jesus said, God's Word is truth. So the Bible, the Word of truth, it must dominate our thinking. What dominates your thinking? Is it truth in this world, in reality, according to how God has defined it? Nonfiction rather than fiction should fill a Christian's mind. That's a good conviction for you to have whenever you watch or listen to certain things. Truth that is dependent on and extends from God's revealed Word. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, whatever is honorable should dominate our minds. This word honorable means to revere or to worship. Whatever is worthy of reverence, whatever is worthy of worship, that which is dignified is what should fill our minds. Not that which is trivial. Not that which is trashy. Not things that are disrespectful in nature. It's not honorable to think on. Our thoughts should be focused on things worthy of adoration and praise. Don't fill your minds with trash, in other words. 1 Peter 2:12, our conduct among the world is to be honorable. Think on these things. Next, whatever is just or whatever is right. The word here is whatever is righteous. Whatever accords to righteousness, whatever accords to true justice. We are to shift our thoughts to that which is consistent with God's divine eternal law of righteousness. His standards of true justice is what should dominate our minds. I'll just give you a personal story, and I usually don't get too personal or things, but whenever I was watching a movie when I was unconverted, it was a movie called Law Abiding Citizen. I don't know if you ever heard that or seen it, but it was a fascinating movie to me. It was a man who was given complete injustice by the court system, so he took it upon himself to begin to murder everyone involved in the injustice of what the court system did to him. Now, I can tell you as a police officer, there's a lot of injustice that goes on in the court system. But for a man to take it upon himself to do things that are unjust and commit murder in the name of justice reminds me of much of the movement today with the riots and the Black Lives Matter and all that nonsense. They propagate injustice in the name of justice. A Christian should not dwell on, think about, watch that kind of reality depicted in movies, in movements, in music, in whatever else is in the world. That shouldn't fill our minds. It's going to warp your view of what justice is.
Right.
I mean, Jesus was treated unjustly, and he didn't take it upon himself to kill everyone involved. He submitted to God, who will judge justly one day.
Right.
Jesus is our example. Don't fill your mind with things that is not just, that is not right, that is not righteous. It was a movie that completely praised injustice and wanted you to cheer and chant for the man who is carrying it out. I've developed a conviction on that movie since then because we must think about what is really right, what's really just. And we trust in God's Word to tell us that. Next, he says, whatever is pure, whatever is pure. It's a category that includes thoughts that are holy. Thoughts that are morally clean, that are clear, pure, clean, undefiled. Thoughts that are free from sinful things. What the Bible defines as sin. Purity. Morally excellent and clean things should fill our minds. Next, whatever is lovely should dwell in our minds. This is sweet, gracious, generous, patience. This is all these things should we be dwelling on. Because listen, remember, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're dwelling on, that's what you're going to practice. Whatever you think trash, you're going to practice trash. If you think on that which is lovely, sweet, gracious, generous, and patient, guess what you're going to be?
Amen.
You're going to follow that pursuit after that thought. Lovely thoughts are pleasing. Whatever is lovely is attractive. Whatever is lovely is appropriate. Colossians 4:6 says that our speech should be gracious and pleasant. It should be a pleasant thing that we're saying coming out of our mouth. And if you want to control what you say out of your mouth, you need to control what's in your mind, what's in your heart. Because Jesus said what's in the heart comes out of the mouth. It needs to be pleasant thoughts. Next, whatever is commendable, he says. Our thoughts should be centered on things that are highly, highly regarded or well thought of. Our minds should be set on the loftiest realities that this world can produce as according to God's Word. Lofty things. Things that carry a good reputation. And in summary, he says here that if there's anything else, anything excellent or anything worthy of praise, think on these things. He leaves the responsibility with the individual Christian to know what is excellent or morally superior or virtuous, along with anything worthy of praise or whatever is deserving of your approval. That's the only thing. Not everything is deserving of your approval or of your attention, right? Whatever is deserving or worthy of praise, anything morally excellent, this is where your thoughts should be. There's a lot of things, as a Christian, that don't deserve your time and your attention in this world. Don't dwell on those things. It's going to corrupt and pollute your mind. Movies, music, and all the rest that are filled with false forms of reality in order to deceive, trash, injustice, ideas that are dirty or stained, scenarios that are not pleasant, schemes that are not highly regarded or lofty, that leave a bad taste, they should be avoided so you will not corrupt and pollute your mind. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your mind, your heart, your mind, for because from it flows the issues of life."
Right.
Guard what's in here. Guard your mind, because from the mind, from the heart, comes all realities of life. If you think like a Christian, you will live like a Christian. If you're not living as a Christian, it's because you're not thinking as one, and the problem is either you have slipped into a temporary ditch of immaturity, or you are simply lost and don't know the Lord. The answer is simple for both: repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Change your mind. Repent. The key to obedience is godly living, therefore. Belief drives behavior. So if your thoughts are not right, the last component falls into line with Christian maturity. It will fall into place. If your thoughts are right, your obedience will be right. Number 8, practical obedience. Notice he puts it last after all the categories of thought. If these thoughts are correct, verse 9, you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord in obedience. Notice what he says in verse 9. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of all peace, the God of peace, will be with you. Notice here, what you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me. Paul is using this principle again of emulation or of imitation. You should be following the pattern of the most mature believers that you can find who are themselves following Jesus.
Amen.
You need to find the most mature ones, not the most immature. Find the most mature people you can find and stick to them if they are following Christ. The principle of emulation, Paul's teaching it once again here when he says, what you've seen in me, practice these things. What you've learned, received, heard, and seen, the Bible was instilled in you. It was entrusted to you. The Bible was taught to you. The Bible was modeled for you. Therefore, follow this example, he says. Practice these things. This word practice is a repetition. It's continuous action. It's ongoing patterns of life. Get in line with these things and walk in a continuous pattern of life, not just one time. The Christian is never known by his perfection, but listen, by his direction, by the pattern of life that you give. And lastly, the God of all peace will be with you. Notice the direct connection from what you think about God and the peace that He gives. What you think in verse 8 and the God of peace that He gives in verse 9. Isaiah 26:3. You keep Him in perfect peace. Listen. Whose mind is stayed on you. When your mind is on the things of the Lord, peace will guard you. Peace is directly linked to what you know and where your trust is placed. The God of peace Himself. The God who makes peace through the cross of Christ, and the God who gives peace in the heart of His chosen children. Practice these things and you're on your way to becoming a mature Christian. Church unity, spiritual joy, gracious humility, strong confidence, thankful prayer, supernatural peace, godly thinking, and practical obedience. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this day and this morning. Thank you for this time, Lord, to just think about your word. Lord, I pray that our minds, Lord, as Peter said, would be prepared for action. And our action this morning is to worship you. And Lord, I pray that we would prepare our minds right now, Lord, to just lift up songs of the loftiest realities of divine truth, that we would sing from our hearts. And that, Lord, we wouldn't discount our emotions, but that we would direct them with our minds. And that we would express the truth that we know and the truth that we love, that you saved us, Lord. You've given us great and precious promises. Help us, Lord, to sing them back to you, to sing your word back to you, to be stirred, Lord, in our hearts with worship, and to give you, Lord, a sacrifice of singing and of praise that would be acceptable to you. Lord, I pray that we would all do that. If there's one here that doesn't know what I'm talking about, Lord, that's lost, I pray, Lord, you would show them the truths and the realities of the peace that you offer.
That's right.
Of the salvation that you offer. Of the Christ that came to die so that they didn't have to go to hell. Lord, I pray that they would see him today. And I pray that your people, Lord, would see him today and that he would be honored and glorified at the end result of all things. And it's in his name we pray and ask it. Amen.